Good morning, church. Welcome again this morning. Well, praise God. The first thing I want to do this morning is lead us to two scriptures or two passages of scripture. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalm, that I really want to open up with today. And the first one is Psalm 34, and I want to read verses 7, 8, and 9. Would you turn to the book of Psalm chapter 34 this morning and read with me verses 7, 8, and 9. Verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivers them." Verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Verse 9, "O fear ye the Lord, all his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Then in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, it tells us that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And we know and have been taught and understand Jesus himself translated what the fear of the Lord was in one of the Gospels, where he said that I will worship the Lord God only. So we know that the fear of the Lord is really the worship of the Lord. So it says here, "O worship you the Lord, all his saints, for there is no want to those that worship him." So how many of us here want length of days? Where does it say length of days? In which scripture does it say? We just read length of days will be added. The fear of the Lord, the worship of the Lord prolongeth your days, adds length of days to your life. So I want to open up with this morning just this. Let's become great worshipers of God. Every time, just think of it this way, every time I open up my mouth and praise God, we know not how many hours, days, and weeks are added to our life. But God's word is faithful. God doesn't put something in his word that he doesn't mean. And if you want to prolong your days in your life and see good days, worship God. Be a worshiper of God. Every day we should continually praise him. So let's add length to our life on the earth in blessing. Let us be the people like Psalm 34, verse 1 says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will what? Continually. Once a week on Sunday morning? No. Continually be in my mouth. His praise should continually be in our mouths. Now, keeping that portion of scripture in our hearts fresh, I want to take us this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 14, and I want to read verses 17. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I want to show us this morning a principle from the Word of God that we don't often hear taught. We don't often hear talked about in the church. In other words, I've never heard that many sermons on it. But yesterday, as I was preparing for today, I actually was studying a whole different thing. And upon looking up one scripture that I was looking for, the Lord caught my attention with another scripture. And it's really interesting how the Lord does that. All of a sudden, he began to just open up my heart concerning this very issue. And I thought, okay, Lord, I guess what I had for today, I'm going to scrap and we're going to go with what you want me to teach on. So I believe this is from the Lord. Verse 17, are you all there? Let's read it. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now, we here, and I'm sure many other churches, have heard many, many sermons on understanding righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have heard lots upon righteousness. Understanding righteousness, the importance of knowing that you are the righteousness of God. We have learned that. We have gone over it. It's very important. And just last week, we also saw from God's word the importance of having peace, righteousness and peace. We've heard many, many sermons on peace. Have peace. I give unto you my peace, the Lord says to us. But you know something? We don't hear that much about joy. We don't hear too many sermons on joy and the importance of it. But it is very important to the Christian life. I believe it was put here because it's just important, as important to us as righteousness and peace. And so is joy. So we need to be really honest with ourselves today. Most of us in the Christian church are not exactly bubbling over with joy. Do you see a difference? Can you mark the difference in people when you meet them and think, oh yes, I know you're a Christian because you're bubbling over with joy? Usually not. Usually not. We put a good front on when we come to church, when we're out and about. But you know, even many of us don't even do that. We try to put the face of joy on because we know deep down that we're supposed to be a joyous people. But how many of us really are living a joyful life, a life filled with joy? Jesus came not just to give us life, but to give us life that we could enjoy, to be joyful in this life. Too many of us, like I said this morning at the end of our worship, are just kind of, it's like we're hanging on. We're just hanging on to the promises of God, trying so hard not to deviate from the faith. It's taking all our energy and it's zapping us of all of our joy. Life is just about getting through, surviving. And the Lord showed me that you're hanging on to Him. He's hanging on to you. I heard this analogy and I thought it was so good. Megan, when you take your two little ones at this age to cross the street, do you depend on them hanging on to your hand or do you have them by the hand? It might look like they're hanging on to your hand, but you're not depending on their grip on your hand. It's your grip on their hand and you're going to drag them across that street if you have to. And that's how it is with God. I mean, the child might think he's hanging on, but really it's the mom that's hanging on to the child, right? And it's no different with God. We think we're hanging on, we're expending so much energy, just hanging on. You know, I've got to walk by faith. I've got to keep the faith fight up. And it looks painful. It's hard. Where's the joy? No, remember, God has you. God is carrying you. You can relax. He's not going to leave you in the middle of the street. He's going to get you to the other side. He who has begun this work in you, He will finish it. So having joy in our life is very, very important. How is it that Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have an abundant life, have and enjoy an abundant life? How is it that we can enjoy life without joy? Is it even possible? How can you enjoy life without joy? So this isn't just my idea. This is God's best. This is what God wants for you. You know, even in the natural, we as parents, if you were to see your child sullen, depressed, withdrawn, anxious, no smile, no laugh, no joy, seemingly doesn't want to do anything, finds no joy in anything. Now we're talking about a child here. You would become a little worried, a little concerned. In fact, you might even get to the point where you say, you know what, we need to take this child for counseling. It just ain't natural. Children ought to be full of joy. They ought to be happy, enjoying life. And you wait for that little smile, that little giggle that Charlie gives. He lets you know that he is full of joy. It just bubbles out. Even such a lame little laugh, but it's there. And that gives you joy. Do you think it's any different with God? He loves to see you full of joy. He loves to see you enjoying life. He doesn't want to see you sitting there sullen, depressed, moody, no joy. But you know, as we grow older, we expect this in a child, but as we grow older, it seems to become more acceptable when people aren't full of joy. You know, as adults in the world, when it comes to children, this is what our attitude is. It's like, what have they got to be depressed about? But yet, as adults, we think we have the right. Well, if you knew what I had to go through, if you knew what I had to put up with, we think we have the right, even though children don't, because they got nothing to worry about, nothing to, you know, they're free from any responsibilities. But it seems like as we grow older, we think we have the right to be depressed and down and have no joy in our lives. But you know, as God's children, children of God, we are of the world, or we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of the kingdom of heaven, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning. What have you got to be depressed about? Nothing. Now, the joy I'm referring to here this morning is not the joy that comes from outward circumstances, although it does affect outward circumstances. But it's not the root of our joy. Because if it was, we'd be up and down, which we normally are, just like the world. I mean, yahoo, we're going on holidays. Oh, no, I have to go back to work. Yahoo, it's the weekend. And, you know, up and down their joy goes and rises and falls depending on what's going on around them. I'm not talking about that kind of joy. I'm talking about a lasting joy, a joy that bubbles like a river flowing. It just bubbles out of us. And this joy that I'm referring to is the joy that Jesus himself gave us. He said he'd give us it before he went to the cross. He said, I give you my joy. Just like he said, I give you my peace. Just like he said, you are now my righteousness. This joy comes from Jesus. And it is, and remember this, it is his joy. It is his joy, my joy, that my joy might be fulfilled in me. So one must ask themselves, in understanding this joy, how we get it, where it comes from, how do we walk in it, what is his joy? Because Jesus said, it's my joy, just like his peace. It's not just peace, it's his peace, his joy. In other words, it belongs to him. The joy that he has and experiences, he's giving to you, that joy. So why is this joy so important to us in this life? It is important because it is the strength of your Christian life. Even in the natural, joy is very powerful. If you are a happy, positive person, full of joy, you will have a good life. But as a Christian, the joy is your strength to live a Christian life. The strength behind your faith. Many times we give up. The Bible says, do not be weary. Don't give up. Cast not away your confidence. Many of us get weak. We have no strength. Well, it's his joy that becomes your strength. It will sustain you in the fight of your faith. It will sustain you. When anything has lost its joy, let's think of it this way. You quickly lose interest. When you don't have any more joy in doing a certain task or performing a certain thing, you quickly lose interest. And you know, I can use that in so many analogies. When we first got saved, we were so full of joy, and I mean, there was nothing that we wouldn't do, and there was nothing we couldn't believe God for. Oh, that joy was wonderful. And then as the years go by, you lose that. And in the eyes of God, that's not good. That's sad. We should be increasing in joy, not decreasing. Just like we should be increasing in peace and righteousness and all the things. the sad thing is we tend to more decrease than increase. You know, it might be a ministry. I know I have to continually, being the ministry that I am in, I have to always remember the reason I'm doing this. I don't ever want it to become a job. The moment it becomes a job, it loses all joy. And when I lose my enjoyment of what I do, then it will be very quick. I will be very quick. Mind you, I'm the type of person that will stay in there, but I'm not going to enjoy it. And I refuse to do something that I do not completely enjoy. So in other words, when you've lost your joy, you lose interest in living. Nothing matters. You don't care what you eat. You don't care what you wear. You just lose your interest in life. In other words, when there's no joy, no more enthusiasm, and everything becomes lifeless. Lifeless. Joy is very important. It puts life into things. And then when you've lost your joy, everything becomes just something you do, a chore, and you just go through the motions of life. Is that how God wants us to live? No, absolutely not. He does not want us to just exist. He wants us to enjoy life. It brings God pleasure when we enjoy life, when we have joy, just as much as it gives a parent pleasure when they see their children laughing and happy. I mean, come on, you guys. The minute your child is crying, or grumpy or down, you want to know immediately. You sit that child down and you say, what is wrong? Let's fix it. You're not going to leave it unattended. You're going to want to know, why are you crying? Why are you so unhappy? And then you're going to do anything in your power to make the child happy. Once the child is happy, then you're happy. And you can go about your day. But as long as that child remains crying, you're not happy. And so you think God wants to see us miserable, not happy, not enjoying life. It bothers God, just like it bothers a parent. How much more our Heavenly Father? It bothers us. I want us to open our Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Let's talk about the joy that Jesus said is ours. My joy I give to you. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus was anointed with gladness. The word gladness is interpreted joy. Jesus was anointed with gladness above all his fellows. In other words, what it's telling us here is the joy that Jesus has is beyond anything anybody else has. It's a supernatural joy to us. It is so big. And you and I, of course, because we are in Christ, we have become joint heirs and joint partakers of all that he has. One of those things is his joy. And Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 tells us this, that this joy of the Lord is your strength. That the joy of the Lord, not just joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we can all enjoy his joy. Yes, we can. If you are in Christ, you can all enjoy his joy. It is yours. Just as his peace is yours, just as his righteousness is yours. Why? You have to look at it this way. Because he paid the price. It is legally yours. It is written in Isaiah chapter 53:3, that Jesus became a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus was a man of sorrows, past tense, and acquainted with grief. Where did he become the man of sorrows? At the cross. Isaiah 53:3. Here in Isaiah 53, it tells us of the suffering and what Jesus went through for us as our substitute. You ought not to be a person of sorrow. Why? Because he took your place. He became the man of sorrows. Why? So that we could become his people of joy. He became our sorrow, that we could take his place in his joy. But even before Jesus went to the cross and became the man of sorrow, while he was on the earth, Jesus was always full of joy. We may not see that in the scripture, because we maybe don't see Jesus as a man of joy. It's funny how you picture something to be, you will see that as you read it. But remember, he had joy, unspeakable joy. He was a man of joy. What do you think there was about Jesus that attracted people to him? What if, you know, people that are dark and down and depressing, they don't attract anybody to themselves. It's people that are bubbly and laughing and happy all the time. They attract people. People love to be around those kind of people. Why? Because they make them feel good. And I would imagine Jesus made people feel good because people followed him. They left their businesses, their homes, and just followed him. Why? I mean, Jesus was a natural man. There must have been something about Jesus. Charisma he had. And I would imagine his joy, his enthusiasm, his zest for life must have just been so effective. And he was a born leader. People that are leaders usually are people of joy, people that are very positive. So Jesus, even when he was on the earth, was full of joy. It was his strength as well. Even as his joy is now our strength, he's given it to us that we might be strong too. Now I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm trying to give us an understanding of this joy, breaking it down, showing it to us in a totally different way, because when we hear, we should be joyful. We don't know how to do that. We're relying on our feelings and our emotions. I don't feel joyful today because of the Americans process. There are people that are down that don't even know that. There's no reason. It's all to do with emotions. And so I want us to understand, number one, what his joy is. And then to know that that joy is yours. So that you understand how to step into that joy. Because it's not necessarily a feeling or an emotion that I'm talking about. Although joy does bring feelings and emotions, it is not a feeling, just like love is not. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us." What is the sin that so easily besets us? Unbelief. "Let us lay aside unbelief and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Looking unto Jesus, we know that in order to run that race, we need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, seen in the Word, begins our faith and begins our faith. So looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy? It was this joy that they're talking about in this scripture that gave Jesus the strength to endure the cross. Don't think that Jesus did not need strength to endure the cross, because he even said at any time, "I can command a multitude of angels and they will come and deliver me." He needed fortitude. He needed endurance to go through that cross. What gave him that endurance? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy that was set before Jesus that gave him the, "Yes, I'm doing this," the endurance, the strength to finish the work to go through every last part of the agony that he had to go through, right up to the spitting in his face and the vinegar that they handed him and the beatings. And I mean, you just go through it. Just it started with the sweating in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then it escalated. It got worse and worse and worse. Would you have endured that for a group of people who were all sinners, not one deserved? So his strength was the joy that was set before him. And what I'm talking about here is actually the joy, his strength that he's given you. That same joy is yours. So let's find out what this joy was that was set before him. For it was this joy that gave Jesus the strength to endure the suffering and all that went on at the cross. So what is the joy that was set before him? Can you think about that? What was the joy that was set before Jesus? What was he focused on? He was not focused on the natural, what was going on around him. But he was focused on the end result. What was that? Our salvation. Your salvation was his joy. And because he saw your salvation even before he went to the cross, that was the strength. That was his enthusiasm that, yes, he's never going to quit until he reaches that place. And that's why he shouted out, "Father, it is finished. I've done it." That was the joy. The joy when he cried out, "It is finished." I don't think we can even imagine the joy that that statement probably brought to his heart and the heart of the Father. Your salvation is his strength, his joy. Our salvation, our wholeness. Not salvation just being saved from hell, but our salvation in every area. That's why Jesus had to go through all those areas at the cross. He had to go through every area. Because he wanted to save us in every way. Mentally, physically. He wanted to save our finances. He wanted to suffer everything that we could be totally saved. Totally. Every curse, every sickness, every disease. This is his joy. Your total salvation. That's the joy of our Jesus. That's why the Bible says there is great joy in heaven over one person, one soul who repents and receives Jesus. Great joy. Because it's the salvation of each and every one of us that is the joy of the Lord. And Jesus is now anointed with joy above all of his fellows. Why? Because he did it all for all. So his joy is multiple times. He has exceeding joy in just one salvation. Can you imagine how much joy he has in the salvation of the whole world? But on the flip side, he takes no pleasure in your sickness, in your lack, in any of those things in any way. He takes pleasure in your salvation. It is his strength. But he takes joy, and it strengthens him when we receive from him all he's given. Salvation in all areas. That gives him strength. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus and his disciples were walking. Jesus was tired, and they came to a well, and he rested at the well, it says. And the disciples said, "You know, Lord, we're going to go and get some food." While they were gone, a woman came to draw water from the well, and she was a Samaritan, I believe. Well, long story short, Jesus exposed himself to her. He told her he was the living water that she had been looking for. And she believed him. She was so excited that she believed that he was the one they were waiting for, the long-awaited for Messiah. She immediately believed him. And so she goes running back to her community, crying out, I just met a man who told me everything about me, and she's going on, and she says, come and meet this man. Could he be the Savior? Is he not the Savior? And so she was an advocate and an evangelist for Jesus right off the bat. And she went running to tell others about the man she had met. Well, by the time the apostles came back from wherever they were getting food, I don't think it was a Big Mac, but back in the day, I'm not sure exactly where they went to get food. But anyways, when they came back, they saw that Jesus was leading up. He was refreshed. He looked refreshed. He looked different. And so they said to him, Master, did someone come and bring you something to eat? They were confused. And he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. So my point is that Jesus draws strength from us receiving his salvation, because that brings him joy, and joy is his strength. And that's exactly what happened there. He, a woman drew from him what she needed. She drew salvation, and that was joy of the heart of Jesus, and that gave him strength. And by the time they came back, it looked like he had slept and he had eaten a good meal. So your salvation is his food of joy. You need to see it that way. It is his joy. So when we talk about the joy of the Lord, we're talking about your salvation. And you need to see it that way. It's not just some joy, some feel-good thing we're going to pull out of the sky. No, the joy of the Lord. When I say I have the joy of the Lord, that means I have the joy of how he sees and feels about my salvation. And that's an amazing joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11 that in his presence there is fullness of joy. Now, this has always been understood like in this manner, that when you enter into the presence of God, then you will experience joy from his presence. We don't really understand it. We can't break it down. There's no picture for it. That's how we've been taught it. But have we ever maybe seen it from this point, that when we enter into his presence, when we come to God or come to Jesus, that coming to him is an act of faith, right? I mean, we can't see him. We're not going and ringing a doorbell and seeing him and say, oh, I'll come to visit you. No, anytime we come to the Lord, anytime we approach God, it is an act of faith because he's invisible. We can't see him. And that when we do that, this brings joy to the heart of our Lord. Why? Because we believe in him and we've come to him. He is so happy to see you. And that joy that he has at your coming before him overwhelms him, and that joy becomes tangible. Coming to him, brings him joy. In turn, that's why we are one with him. We partake. He partakes of us. He's joyful in us. And in that, we partake of his joy over us. Isaiah 62:5 says this, as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He takes joy in you. His joy is you. It's your salvation. Just like we rejoice in our children. Where do you find great joy? In your children. They don't understand that, do they? I mean, they're just living life and having fun. They don't understand that mom and dad's joy is in their children. Well, God's joy is in you. He rejoices over you. He's so happy when you come to him. His heart is filled with joy. That's why his presence becomes very joyful. I mean, you go visit somebody that's lonely and they go, oh yeah, come in. It's like you've just lifted that person's joy and they're excited to see you. And that's infectious. That makes you feel welcome. That joy spills over onto you. That's the joy of the Lord. God loves it when we just come to him and just to be in his presence. That fills his heart with joy. So what does it mean to come into his presence? It just simply means to come to him. like I'd started off with this morning about praising God, adds length of days. People who are happy, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It adds life, days. And the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise God, his presence inhabits that. In that presence, there's fullness of joy. We're strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So what does it mean to enter his presence? It simply means to come to him, to focus on him alone. And by your faith, you know and believe that he is there. Your faith expresses itself in praise, and worship, and thanksgiving. It's not that you're there with your list like a grocery list. No, he delights when we just come before him just to be with him in his presence. And the Bible calls this waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord in an attitude of praise. It is a time when your eyes get off of your surroundings, the things that are going on around you, and you focus completely on him, on his goodness, on his love, on the salvation he's given you through the cross, on Jesus. Then his joy in saving you will become your joy. And this joy translates not only into spiritual strength, but also physical strength. When you have no spiritual strength, you have no physical strength either. That's why people who are depressed are usually very tired. They sleep a lot. They are tired. Like, they're not lying. Their bodies are tired. So his joy in saving you is translated to you. He lets you know that. And that thrills your heart. And it gives you spiritual strength as well as physical. Isaiah chapter 40, 29, 30, and 31. What does that tell us? It says that the Lord gives strength, I believe, to the faint and to the weak. Let's turn there. We didn't have this one written down. Isaiah. We should all know this one, though. 29. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read verses 29 to 30. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and young men will utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. Aren't you glad that it says that we will mount up with wings as eagles? Because we know that that is referring to youthfulness. We'll be strong and youthful again as we wait upon the Lord. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And his joy is our strength. This is not a small thing for us as Christians. This is huge. Because many of us don't have any strength. We want to. We want to serve the Lord with joy. We want to live our lives with joy. We just don't know how. Because we're looking outwardly for this joy. But this joy comes from him. His joy is our salvation. That's why Jesus said to the 70 disciples when they came back after casting out devils and raising the dead, and they came back with joy. They were rejoicing. And Jesus specifically said to them, don't rejoice over the things, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice over your salvation with Jesus. So this is waiting upon the Lord. Just coming before him, acknowledging his goodness, worship him, praise him for your salvation. And praise will usher you into his presence. And in his presence, that's where the joy is. The joy that God has for you, the joy of your salvation. And you know, Jesus, when he said, come and partake of my joy with me, what he's saying is, come to me and let's together celebrate your salvation. Come celebrate your salvation with me. It shows that we believe it. We trust, we have faith in our salvation. When we come before him and give praise for all that he did for us at the cross, we're partakers of what he did. And that joy of what he did becomes ours. Now, yes, it manifests itself in the natural. If we're praising him and finding joy in the fact that he took all of our stripes or all of our beatings that we might be healed and whole, then it manifests itself in healing. You see, that joy becomes your strength to believe God for your health. And so it's like Jesus is saying, come, let's celebrate together what I did. Because it wasn't for me, it was for you. So let's have a party. And you know that in God's house, there's always a party. There's a big celebration. You can't come to God's house without being happy and singing and shouting. Remember the prodigal son? As soon as he came home, there was a party. But the religious one, he didn't like this party. Religious people don't like partying. But you know what? God is so full of joy over your salvation. It is everything to him. And he wants you to come and enjoy it with him. Celebrate together over your own salvation. That is the joy. It's not some feeling that he imparts when you come into his presence. It's his love and his joy in saving you that he imparts into you. And that gives us strength to believe that if he's that joyous over it, there ain't nothing he is not going to give us. And that's why Jesus said in I believe it's John chapter 16, the Gospel of John, he said, come ask, whatever you ask, the Father will give you, that your joy might be healed. It all goes back to understanding what the joy of the Lord is and where to obtain it. It's in his presence. There's fullness of joy. And this joy is our strength. So my question this morning is, do we have to just sit in his presence all day long just to continue to be continually full of joy? I mean, who's got time to sit in the presence of God all day long? It would be nice, but I mean, we have lives to live, we have jobs to do, we have children to take care of, right? We have tasks to do. So how do we continue in this joy? Well, first of all, the joy comes from seeing his salvation when you're in his presence. His joy over saving you becomes tangible. You see it, you feel it, you know it's true. You know it's true. It's like it bears witness with your heart. And it brings great joy. It brings joy to your hearts. So first of all, the joy begins the salvation, overseeing the victory of your salvation in your heart. Then in Proverbs chapter 15, 23, it says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A man has joy by the answer. You understand, there again, the mouth is connected. It's connected to your peace. It's connected to everything. Salvation, confession is made unto salvation. So your joy comes from your spirit, but now it must be put in your mouth. Speak words of salvation, of life. And when your words come from a place of joy, your words carry weight. They are filled with the strength of God, with the power. And they begin to take form in your life. When you speak out of a place of joy, there's something about the words that come out of your mouth. Even in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, if you go back and read in the book of Genesis, when Isaac was sick and he wanted to impart the blessing. Now, we know that the firstborn blessing is symbolic of the salvation we have in Jesus. Okay? What did he do before he imparted the blessing? He called for his children. He called for, and he said, listen, he said to Esau, his eldest, because this is who the firstborn blessing was going to go to. He said, I want you to go out into the field and I want you to kill this animal and I want you to bring it back and I want you to dress it and make me the savory meat that I love. Bless me. I want to be blessed. I want to be merry. I want to be happy. So that is all symbolic of feeling good, being full, being satisfied, refreshed, happy. When your tummy is full, you're happy. And then I will release the blessing. You can't release the blessing when you're miserable. You're not filled with joy. First of all, seek the Lord with all of your heart. He's there. He's waiting to show you his salvation and the joy he has in saving you. And that joy never goes old to the Lord. Forever he will rejoice over you. You're his bride. He gave it all up to marry you, to be with you. And that's what he rejoices over. Just like the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God rejoices over you. And that is your strength. Knowing that, believing that, gives you more faith to believe that everything he said that he did for you at the cross is true. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow and pray.